Recently, Supreme Master Ching Hai graciously allowed our association members to gather for an international seminar. It was a joyous occasion as Master and disciples reunited to meditate and pray for peace. During her visit to meet with our association members, Supreme Master Ching Hai also spoke of the teachings of past masters and answered the spiritual questions of fellow initiates. Throughout the ages, compassionate, enlightened masters have urged people to surrender to the greater universal power by seeking the divine within, from which all other goodness and happiness follow. This message was echoed again in Sila Paramita, the practice of selfless kindness, which Supreme Master Ching Hai shared with our association members during the international gathering on December 29, 2008.
Yes, actually the Buddha has always said that of all the charity, giving the true teaching is the best charity of all. Yes, but we have to make sure that we understand it. You see what I mean? Yeah. Not that we misleading others who without us would probably understood better. So it's not just like, okay, the Buddha said if you study this sutra and explain it to others, then you have a lot of merit, and you hurry up, go and print a lot and give it to everybody. Okay, now, what he meant is when somebody observe and study this sutra and explain to others, means he already understood. He already attained this sila paramita, perfection. Of selflessness, of selfless kindness. Yes, that's very difficult. Yes, observe and study and explain it to others. That means the person already almost as the Buddha or as the Buddha himself in order to understand the Buddha, no? And attain that level of the selfless kindness that have been mentioned in here, not just reading like a parrot or reciting it like a record player. This is different. Okay, so make sure that we understand all that. The Lord Buddha continued, "Do not think, Subhuti, that the Tathagata, what Tathagata, you know, that mean the Buddha, okay, mean the Master, the Enlightened One. It's just different title they give it to the Buddha, the Enlightened Person, okay." The Tathagata, consider within himself, I will deliver human beings. That would be a degrading thought. Why? Because really there are no sentient beings to be delivered by the Tathagata. Should there be any sentient beings to be delivered by the Tathagata, it would mean that the Tathagata was cherishing within his mind arbitrary conceptions of phenomena such as one's own self, other selves, living beings, and universal self. Yeah. So the Buddha tells Subhuti that in his mind there's no conception of delivering, helping anybody or saving anyone. No, truly like that. Even when the Tathagata refers to himself, he is not holding in his mind any of such arbitrary thought. Only terrestrial human beings think of selfhood as being a personal possession. Subhuti. Even the expression terrestrial beings as used by the Tathagata does not mean that there are any such beings in his mind. It is used only as a figure of speech. Yeah. When the Buddha teaches disciples, he has to refer to something, you know, the way they would understand it. Say, okay, teacher, and there's a disciple, and the sentient beings. But in his mind, in his heart of heart, He has no reference to these things. He doesn't think like that. He doesn't even need to think like that. He has never had to think like that. Everything flows from the Buddha, just very natural, simple, and just oneness with all beings. It's very difficult to explain these things, even though the Buddha has tried hard to explain it. But I'm not sure many people will understand that. Because you have to attain this level of understanding, of oneness, the level of the Buddha, then we will understand what he means. Yes. Just like Jesus, when somebody touched his garment and said, "Oh, the Lord has healed me," he said, "Your faith has healed you," or "My Father has done it." He has no mind, no ego, nothing to hold onto anything. Any event, any phenomena, any miracle, any extraordinary things that happen here or in the whole universe, anywhere. His mind is completely empty of such concepts that we thinking that it should be so, it should be that, should be this. Buddha never thought of anything. Everybody keeps saying the Buddha healed this person and Jesus healed that person, but the master would not have such concept in his heart. Maybe he said, okay, yes, but in his true heart, no such thing that he claimed to himself that he's a Buddha, he heals this person, he delivers that person. He doesn't think like that. None of these things happen in the Buddha's mind, in the enlightened person's mind. The Lord Buddha continued, "Subhuti, if a disciple bestow as alms an abundance of the seven treasures sufficient to fill as many worlds as there are grains of sand in the Ganges River." Whew, that's mucho. Beaucoup. "And if another disciple, having realized the principle of the egolessness of all things and thereby had attained perfect selflessness," the selfless disciple would have more blessing and merit than the one who merely practiced objective charity. Of course, we know that already, oh? Don't we? Okay, good. Oh, you're so smart. "And why?" the Buddha asked. "Because Bodhisattva, Mahasattva do not look upon their blessing and merit as a private possession." Ha! See, two disciples, he said. One of them has lots and lots and lots of money and, you know, possession and give and give and give forever, you know, like endless giving of material charitable deeds. And the other one attained the selflessness state of enlightenment. The second one has much more merit than that one who gives limitless treasure to all beings in the universe. Imagine that, huh? Yeah. Because, you know, the one who gives and still thinking that he's giving. And nevertheless, it's still material things anyway. And the one who attained Buddhahood, that's completely much better. You see, then he's liberated. And every conception about the difference between I and you all fell away. He attained oneness with all beings. Yes, he mastered the universal principle. He will then radiate blessing, love, power, merit, all kind of things that will be bestowed upon whoever connected with him. Even if he doesn't give a penny to anybody, but he gives his blessing power, then maybe that person is even getting rich from the blessing also. You see what I mean? For example, sometime you go to see an enlightened master, the enlightened master. Like, for example, Kabir, he didn't have any money. He even had to go borrow money. Yes. Or any enlightened master. They don't have money to give you. Maybe they don't give you anything. But you bring home lots of blessing. And then from the blessing, you are more enlightened. Then the more enlightened, you're more intelligent and more lucky. And then you will just earn more money. But of course, maybe you don't think that is a blessing from that Buddha or that master power. Remember the joke I told you last time, yeah? The guy who praying to get a car parked in a busy traffic time and he's in a hurry to have an important appointment and he was praying, please Lord, just, you know, give me a parking space and I will go to the church every day of my life, every Sunday of my life. And then miraculously a parking space appeared in front of him and he said, never mind Lord, I found it. Don't worry, I did it myself, you know. This is typical, ne? It's typical. So this is the thing. So you see, an enlightened person gives a lot. Even if he doesn't give anything, he always gives a lot. Always, yes. Also the same, sometime I told you about the animals, they also bless his owner or whoever helped them. Eh? They bless also invisibly. And then you suddenly win a lotto, or you suddenly been promoted. And then you don't know why. You would never accredit it to an enlightened person or a saint that associate with you or with that very benevolent animal. Yes, you will not know it. Unless you have psychic power, unless you have intuitive knowledge about these things, you don't know. Also, well, sometimes we know, eh? Do you know?
Yeah.
So continue. Subhuti inquire with the Lord Buddha. What do the words Bodhisattva, Mahasattva do not look upon their blessing and merit as a private possession mean? Now he asks a question. So the Lord Buddha replied, as those blessing and merit have never been sought in any covetous spirit by Bodhisattva Mahasattvas, so by that same spirit they do not look upon them as a private possession, but as the common possession of all animate beings, of all sentient beings. Yeah, that is correct. A person who is already a saint, who is already attained sainthood of Buddhahood. Bodhisattva Mahasattva means great saint in Sanskrit. Okay. Now, a great saint would never pray for, you know, any merit or any blessing or any possession in any case. So even if he has it, he would never care in the first place. So he considered that it's a common property for all to use. That's why if he has anything, he dispenses it freely. Because it's never his in any case. He never ever wanted to acquire these things. And he never ever considered that is of any importance to him anyways. Therefore, it's nothing. He has it or not have it, it's the same. So when he has it, then it's like as if he doesn't have it. Yes. And he uses it only to benefit others. Yeah? Or himself, his family, whatever necessary, he will use it. He doesn't consider to hold it, to hoard it and to keep it. That is not the quality of a saint in any case. If anyone is like that, you know he's not a saint, okay?
Thank you for joining us for Between Master and Disciples. Healthy living up next right after noteworthy news here on Supreme Master Television. Heaven bless your days with sunshine, happiness, and smiles.